And in this walking period, this is, again, for those of you who are here for the first today, this is going to seem a little out of context to you. But yesterday afternoon, when we were so in that space of having integrity around our clarity of purpose and our clarity of intention, that I would like you to evoke that feeling and this time walk with that whole, over and over again, owning the person walking is a person that has a very strong sense of their own integrity. That you're practicing knowing what you're about, the way mindfulness with intention brings a presence. So first you're present, and then it develops a kind of presence, and you can feel an established practitioner that there's a kind of like authority there, not authority as to what they know, but of what they are, their very beingness. And so I'm inviting you in this walking practice to walk your path with the sense of your own integrity, that you know how it works, you know how it's put together, and you just walk it. You practice being you as a person who's present mindfully and with intention. That you're rehearsing it. You're seeing what it's like. And I would again have you, as you get halfway, stop into the stillness and then see the presence of it. But each step, you're taking a step. You're not moving. You're not becoming that in the movement this time. You are that person moving. That sense of clarity of purpose and intention, the integrity of that. And you're prepared to pay the price of that integrity. You're not a person who's going to swerve. You walk as though that's your reality. And you are being that reality during this time period. And then you stop again and you see what it feels like. The felt sense of this when I pause, when I go into stillness, is what do I learn from this? What does it feel like? Whatever you're available for. And then right before lunch, I want to hear about these two walking periods. So question about the instruction. You're walking with this integrity. And I talked yesterday that there's a degree of the warrior in you in the walk, because you're prepared to back it up. You would hurt someone's feelings to protect your own integrity, to stay true to yourself. You would be willing to not get something you wanted because it did not feel skillful in that way. So that's the practice here. And then number two will meet me upstairs.
I have been unsure what to call these walking practices that I suggest. And the closest I've come to a term is walking explorations, walking practice explorations. And what's been very satisfying with this in these small groups, and then yesterday in the large group, various people have various experiences that lead them to insights. And this is one part of the walking practice on residential retreats that I have wondered how we might improve, because in my own walking practice, there's been often insights arise during the walking rather than during the sitting for one reason or another. And then I don't hear that as much from, you know, people attending the retreats, as was my experience. And I think in part that we haven't given enough to do in a way that would lead to this kind of that would get you started. And I feel as though that in a way we're getting you started. In the idea of insight arising, that there be explorations of like, occurring from this. So this time before we go to lunch, I'm wanting to have a time for more people to share in a short form of it, but share their experiences with walking, either the open heart or the integrity. And again, in the small group, a couple of people started, and one person I asked to say more about. But so please, if you will, whatever you feel comfortable sharing. Beautiful insights. Yeah, ahimsa, will you tell them what ahimsa means? And the nonviolence, of course, is there in the Buddhist tradition as well. So about that open heart, so the first thing is we find our phrase that at least for a period of time really resonates with us. That sometimes we don't even know why. So one time in a Dharma talk, someone just casually said Satipanya. And my whole system lit up, Satipanya. And I immediately went back to my room and I wrote down Satipanya, and it's mindful wisdom. It's mindful wisdom. And I knew without knowing what it meant, I knew that's what I wanted. I knew this was an aspiration, but then I had to go ask, because this was at the very beginning. I didn't know any of these words. And so what is that? And it was, I knew that it was a quality I wanted. I didn't know what it was at all. And I kept it for years and my notebook so that I would see it over and over again. And that's the way I worked with that. And I'm sharing that because for you, then if this trusting heart becomes one of your guideposts. It like you can rely on it to like, okay, in this moment, what would the trusting heart do? Or like, okay, am I allowing the trusting heart to be here in this moment? Your life becomes an exploration of something like this. And then you turn, it turns out all of these various things come up around it. So, very, very fortunate in that way when these kinds of things come. Once we are plugged in somewhere, the investigation, remember investigation is one of the key factors of one of the seven awakening factors is investigation, but there's mindfulness and all this is part of this. And so we're creating a context where, these factors are wholesome factors the way they're coming out because the context in which they're arising. So very helpful in that way. Thank you. A little resistance to that. So being in the moment with integrity was very vulnerable for her, so her body was ahead, and as opposed to just being in the moment. So she was having to integrate an embodied integrity, and that's an exploration. What does embodied integrity look like? And so then your insights will come, you know, in a way you don't, once you get there, you don't need me anymore. Your practice will carry you and all. So that's really useful. And for myself, integrity meant giving up certain options. And I lived in a world where other people had those options. So I was very careful about, you know, I wasn't like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm like, and then finding what's the right level. So when I was in the New York publishing world, it was a world of very sharp elbows and non-truths and things like this. And so I would not allow, like all of our advertising salespeople, I would not allow them to ever say anything that was untrue, even though our competition was saying things that were untrue. I said, we never say anything that's untrue. We can present it in as favorable light as possible. You're welcome to do that. And to their dismay, I would read their letters and all, because I did not want us to ever be saying things that were untrue, because I had come to the conclusion that trust in the long run is I'm either going to win with trust or I'd rather lose. And so we were unbelievably trusted as a company, just unbelievably trusted. And we actually deserved it, amazingly. We really deserved it because I'm sure people did behind my back and all this, but basically it was a very truthful culture. And So there was a gap in there to knowing that that's going to be okay, but it was clear to me what was the bigger win. The bigger win was that I have this sense of integrity in this way. And again, I'm not presenting myself as I didn't mind sharp elbows. It wasn't like, oh, that's too mean. I started out, oh, you want to play that way? Well, I'm willing to play that way with you in life. So I had a great change in the way I was as I got more and more interested. I grew up in a world of a lot of physical violence, and I never could inflict physical violence. Only when I was absolutely forced to would I, and then I would try to minimize it. But I didn't mind being in the world of violence, of physical violence. I could take it like crazy. And So I'm using this as an example. We evolve, and we don't have to be defined by our past. We are characterized, but not necessarily defined. And this is a big Dharma moment when your mindfulness and your other characteristics, your other Dharma strengths become so clear that instead of being defined by your past, it only characterizes you. When you're defined by your past in an area, then you have very little choice, because your history takes you over, or the pleasant or unpleasantness of the way it's arising right now. It's defining you, and you're like a puppet on a string. But when you have reached the point where you can take what's arising, you can stay with what's arising, and have that stillness, inner stillness, that allows you choice, and you're just characterized by your history or by this moment. It's unpleasant, and that's definitely characterizing the moment. This is definitely unpleasant. I'm feeling hurt. I'm not feeling safe. I'm really being mistreated here in this moment. And it just characterizes it. It doesn't define it. And you know the difference, because the difference between you're just reactive versus when you're being responsive. And you can know that difference. So a Dharma warrior, as it were, is responsive and not reactive. Not, again, not perfect. Get rid of the idea of perfect. But moving in that direction. So it becomes exciting then, you see. It's exciting. It's interesting. Your regular life gets a new interest too, because in regular life you're practicing something that's much larger than what is in that moment. It's about something much larger. And that this gives our life a larger context. It's really the appropriate level in which to live, but we get pulled into living our little moment-to-moment dramas, rather than bringing this larger life and having it manifest in the little moment-to-moment dramas. I didn't mean to go on so long in that, but I feel so strongly about it. Sorry. Another one, please. She can't hear. So can you stand up and speak? Thank you. Beautiful insight. So sometimes that it's small and unpleasant and all, but that's what we need to do to be okay. So it matters so much that we are with the experience rather than leaving. So in the language of the nine bodies, you stayed in the emotional body during the experience, and that kept your power for one thing. And then, and for another, then you could have learning happen. And it also gave you the chance to exit that sooner, to exit that closed heart sooner. So yeah, very, very useful, very insightful, very dharmic and very practical. The Dharma is not impractical. Somehow that's one of these things that's out there, that you can do it on retreat, but you can't do it in daily life. Not my experience. One more, and then we'll go to lunch. Well, and everyone could hear her, right? So the two things I would point out about that is that you don't know that is the honest experience, and you're available to know.
And therefore, you're available to have an appropriate response, to use that Zen term again, an appropriate response as the knowing arises. So your integrity is in being available, and you're in don't know mind, which is that Korean term of don't know. And that, but that don't know mind is available. It's got a beginner's mind aspect to it, but there's integrity behind it. You don't know in a lot of situations right now because your life got turned around a lot, but you can show up to life in this moment, and that's your assurance. But then coming back to knowing that that's true and knowing that, oh, I am walking every day a path. Because I'm taking all these steps every day. So every day I'm stepping in with my words and my body and all. So, oh yeah, I want to bring this awareness back into that more clearly and then see where it goes. Thank you for that. Isn't this interesting? Yeah, it's much more, it's really interesting. It's just, and that that curiosity. See, you plug into something larger, because you're representing all of us. You're in these areas. You're representing all of us about open heart, about your integrity, and being able to stay still. You're all of us. What are we capable of doing as a species? What are we? And where in this world we're living in now, where we're so desperately dependent on one another? If we all don't somehow find our better angels, if we don't find our that higher quality within ourselves, you know, very few of us are going to make it and all. So like this is, it's a time that's, it's appropriate, but it's always been appropriate. It's always been, there's always been this around for, you know, before the Buddha, long before the Buddha, there was always this largerness of living a larger life, not on scale of, you know, conqueror or rich or the greatest artist or dancer or whatever, but in this internal experience lived large, lived in its fullness. Time for lunch. We'll come back at 20 till 2, please, for lunch.